Let's continue that we began last week, preserved by the truth. Preserved by the truth. I say last Sunday, as a church and as a nation, we're in a very critical time. If you've been watching in the spirit, you can tell things are changing rapidly. There's change in the air. And therefore, we must stay within our foundations. I said last Sunday, foundations that we must stand on if we are to be preserved for the hour and be effective as true salt of the earth. As Jesus said, so the foundations are very critical. You never come out of your foundations. And I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Are you of the kingdom of God? Do you belong to God? Or some two of you, all others, can you repeat this sinner's prayer, Father? Do we belong to God?
Yes.
Are we of the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Are we born of the Spirit?
Yes.
Are we members of the body of Christ? I'm talking to the kingdom. I'm talking to the kingdom of God. This is where it all begins. The spiritual condition of the church is so much reflected in a nation. Very true. The spiritual condition of the church is so much reflected in the nation. When believers are in authority and are carrying that authority of God, there's a reflection of it in the nation. If we find confusion, stealing, killing, destroying, that means that the church is sleeping. Many believers sleeping. They need to be awakened. And that's what I'm saying, that we have to stay within the foundations. And in Psalm 1, or Psalm 11, verse 3, which I spoke on last Sunday, the Passion Translation says, what can the righteous accomplish when truth's pillars are destroyed and law and order collapse? What can the righteous accomplish when truth's pillars are destroyed and law and order collapse? What will they accomplish? I don't want to live in a nation which is full of chaos. My people shall dwell in peaceful habitations. God has said, we pray that it may be on earth, even as it is in heaven. There's no chaos in heaven. I want that for a nation. I'm born here. Amen. My flesh belongs to Kenya. My spirit is heavenly. My body also will one day be redeemed. Therefore, whatever it takes, I will use my faith for the peace of our nation. Just few of us? Are you a foreigner? You need a passport, a visa to live in this nation, a work permit. In Psalm 11, verse 3, the Amplified says this, if the foundation of a godly society are destroyed. If the foundations of a godly society are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I emphasize on truth, love, honor. And the greatest is love. Love, truth, honor. Those are our pillars. We stand on those pillars as believers in Christ. Truth, love, honor. These are our righteous pillars. This is our godly society of believers. Pastor Carla wonderfully ministered in different meetings while she was here. I remember saying that we are in a decade of war. You remember that, those who are here? We're in a decade of war. And I like the way she answered. She posed a question, then she answered, how will I know that we are at war? How will you know? Look at the fig tree. Symbolically, the fig tree is Israel. Look at Israel. Israel has been at war, even right now. The threats of Hezbollah, north, south, enemies of Israel, just rising up to destroy Israel. I will remain Jewish at heart for the rest of my life. Why? my Savior is Jewish. My Redeemer is Jewish. God himself says, I'm the God of Israel. So I will remain Jewish in my heart. I told you last time when I came from Israel that no wonder I'm short. I realized many of my Jewish guys are short like me. I'm a descendant of David. Listen to this then. In the time of war, you pray for truth to prevail. You've ever heard of propaganda? They use propaganda so much in time of war. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. You have to pray for truth to prevail. This is you as an individual to desire for the truth. And as we believe the same for the body of Christ, that you all of us, the body of Christ, desire for the truth to prevail. Not lies of the enemy. The kingdom of God is founded on the truth. The kingdom of darkness is founded on lies, because the ruler of darkness is the father of lies. Jesus himself said, you're of your father. He's speaking to the Jews that are complaining and several things that they were saying. You are of your father, the devil. He's the father of lies. So always we want the truth. We desire the truth. Again, I'll say, in the time of war, you pray for truth to prevail. Your question as a member of the body of Christ in things that you go through, you should be asking the Lord, what am I dealing with, Lord? Show me the truth about this whole situation. Men may be saying this. Many voices may be speaking and saying such and such. But what are you saying, Lord? What are you saying concerning our nation? What is behind all this? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do as a believer in Christ? This means that we must guard our hearts from every lie of the devil, church. We must guard our hearts from every lie of the devil. In Proverbs 4, 23 and 24, I read it from the Amplified Version, and I'll also read from the Passion Translation. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. And then it goes on to say, put away from you a deceitful, lying, misleading mouth. You should put your hand on your mouth. Put away from you a deceitful, lying, misleading mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Listen, if I have received information and it is in error, and I propagate that and I speak it around and spread it, I am enforcing lies. I'm enforcing error. The devil is known as, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he's known as the prince of the power of the air. He likes controlling the airwaves. How does he control it? Through lies. You know, millions of Jewish people were killed during the Second World War, but it was propagated lies, and they kept killing the Jewish people. There are people even to this age, they don't believe that happened, the Holocaust. They say that was a lie. Why is that so? They've been brainwashed by the devil. You must guard your heart from the lies of the devil with all diligence. And the Passion Translation says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Can you imagine of that? The affections of your heart affect all that you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. For from there flows the wellspring of life. Other versions say, above all, guard your heart. Above all, guard your heart. And then he says this, avoid dishonest speech and pretentious words. Anyone who have heard dishonest speech can lift up your hand in your heart. And pretentious words. Be free from using perverse words. Let's read that together. No matter what. Let's go ahead from be free from using perverse words, no matter what. I am free from using perverse words, no matter what. I guard my mouth. But before then, you guard your heart. You'll be free from using perverse words, no matter what. If all people around you are repeating those lies, you refuse to. You know, let me tell you something, church. Unless the Lord reveals something to you, you don't have all the inside information. You don't. We like repeating things which you do not have insight for. Insight for. Yeah, I think that's the right word. We like repeating that. We don't have all the information. No wonder the Bible says, judge not that you may not be judged. There are things you and I, and many things that we don't understand. I like telling students this way when I'm talking to them, and they say, you know, they think like, I don't believe in that, because I don't understand it. And I like saying it in this manner. Explain to me how a black cow can eat green grass and produce white milk. If you're so educated, explain that to me. Listen to me. We have to believe what the Word of God says. We have to believe the truth. No matter what we face in this life, we are believers of the truth. We must guard our hearts. Another scripture calls it our treasure. In Luke 6:45, so I'll say this, you must guard your treasure, which is your heart, by the word of God, and keep it good for the Lord's use. You must guard your treasure, which is your heart, by the word of God, and keep it good for the Lord's use. I want my heart open to be used by the Lord. If I am biased in my heart, I won't be used by the Lord. If my heart is full of the love of God, he can use me to speak to any person. Why? I will be speaking through the love of God. You see what I'm saying? If you're biased, then you limit God. I don't want to limit the whole one of Israel. I want to be open to every person. In Luke 6:45, the New King James Version says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. A good man out of what? The good treasure. What is that? Of his heart. Brings forth good things, or brings forth good. I want my heart to be that good treasure. Good treasure will be filled with God's word. Good treasure will be filled with God's purposes. Good treasure will be filled with everything that is good from our Heavenly Father. No matter what happens in this generation or in our lifetime, we must guard our hearts. Let me give you a warning here. You cannot open your heart, or you cannot open your ears to the lies of the enemy and say that you desire the truth. There are people who have stories for everything. When you give the devil your ears and your heart, it brings in deception. And than ever before, we are seeing believers, even believers in Christ, being deceived. Why is that so? They are opening their ears and their hearts to the lies of the devil. Above all, guard your heart. For out of it springs the issues of life. Can you imagine how precious your heart is? If your heart is that precious, will you allow anyone to put anything in? Huh? I want you to have to use your imaginer. Do you remember that, brother? You still have your imaginer? Okay, use your imaginer. That your heart being a precious, precious thing, because out of it flows your issues, the issues of life. Think about this. Every time you watch something on TikTok that is full of lies, you've let something enter into that treasure. Every time you speak something that you are not sure of, you look at that, you have allowed another trash into the treasure. Every time you repeat something you are not aware of and you say it as if you know, as if you live in State House, you have another trash in your heart. How do you want to be? Every time you forward something which is not the truth, you have another trash in your heart. How do you want your life to be? And think about this as a bag. At the end of the day, how heavy is your bag? What is it full of? Is it trash or life? Now, if you've been allowing so many things, at the end of it, you're full of trash. And what do people say like those? I can't even pray. Why is that so? There are so many things going on in the nation. That's when you're supposed to pray even. But you have to empty the trash. Do you do that in our homes? Huh? You don't? We empty the trash. What do you call it? Rubbish can. We empty it every day. And that takes going before the Lord and asking him to forgive you. Forgive me, Father, for the words that I've accepted to come out of my mouth. Forgive me, Father, for the things that I've heard. I open my heart to the truth. Listen to this. Every lie that I've accepted as the truth, I ask you to deliver me from it. I confess it. Matthew 15:13. Every plant that you, my heavenly Father, has not planted in me, I uproot it. I receive the truth. I desire the truth. I want to hear the truth. I want to perceive the truth. What will that make you and I? Effective prayers. Effective prayers. Do you remember in John 18:37? Pilate say this. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should be a witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. I want to be one of them every time. Every time. To hear God's voice in everything. Everything. Those who are of the truth do what? Hear my voice. Hear the voice of the great shepherd. In the midst of chaos, you're hearing his voice. You know what to do. You know what to do. Let me read a scripture here. Just a moment. Praise God. in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. The people who are called there, the sons of Issachar. It says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. It's amazing. And all their brethren were at their command. What did they know? They had understanding of the times. Say, Lord, grant me understanding of the times. They had understanding of the times. They knew what Israel ought to do. Would you desire to have that understanding of the times to know what Kenya ought to do? Hallelujah. Yes, we claim that. We have understanding of the times and we know what Kenya ought to do. We pray accurately. We hear accurately. We flow by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. We speak words by the Spirit. Because we have understanding concerning what Israel or what Kenya ought to do. So then, when you believe a lie, remember I said that, it obscures the truth from you. When you believe a lie, it obscures the truth from you. In other words, truth is available, but you can't hear it. Truth is available, but you can hear it. And it's available all the time. But if one believes a lie, they can't hear it. I remember a certain brother years ago. I think it should have been 2001. I was meeting with a certain brother, was a friend of mine, and he brought alongside another brother. Is that clear? You know the way we tell stories in Africa. Another man, and that other man. All right. But he brought along another brother. So this brother's my friend, but he brought another one. And we sat down and we were having a cup of tea and some refreshments. And we spoke probably for 2 hours or more. And I was the main speaker in that cup of tea, because I was sharing revelation after revelation, the word of God. I was so excited to tell them of the things that the Lord was speaking to me. And then they said, this brother said, why don't you meet again, this friend of mine? Let's meet again next week. I don't remember how many days after that, or the same week. We sat down again, probably over 2 hours, and I kept sharing the revelations, just excited. I was in the Bible school. Then at the end of it, this brother looked at me, this who had been brought along by my friend. He said this, I have to confess something. Oh, what? All this time we have met here for these hours, I've not heard you talk about anyone. But you kept on talking the word and speaking the word in our last meeting and this meeting. I said, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. He said this, you know so and so? Yeah. We used to stay in the same place. When I meet with him, he talks so much bad about you. And when I was coming, I was expecting to hear the same from you. But you never mentioned him. He had filled me with so much negative information concerning you. I could not understand. And I believed what he was saying, but now I no longer believe anything that he's saying. And you know what? That guy followed me to the church here in Victor Faith and served for years and years and years. He had heard so many lies about me, and yet when he came to me, I stayed within the word of God, and he had to leave that other company. And he joined this church for years, actually served in this church. When you believe a lie, truth is obscured. It takes you accepting the truth to change now the way you're thinking. You must allow the Lord to sanctify your heart with the truth. We must allow the Lord to sanctify our hearts with the truth. In John 17, 17, the Amplified Classic Version, it says, sanctify them. Let's read together, please. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, make them holy by what? By the truth, your word is truth. Young people, you want to be preserved in this generation? Be a person of the truth. Be a person of the truth. No matter what it takes, be a truthful person. You live by the truth. You pursue the truth. Listen to this, church. We have authority in the realm of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We agree? If we can only listen to the Lord, we will control the affairs of our nation. But we must know our position in Christ. Who controlled Babylon in the time of Daniel? Daniel did. He did through prayer. He did through the word. He spoke the truth over that over the principalities and powers of darkness until there was a shift that came in. Let me say it as loud as I can be. True change comes through the word and the spirit. That's permanent change through the word and the spirit. Any other is temporary. True change comes through the word and the spirit. That means true change is birthed by people praying, people believing God, people speaking in the spirit, truth and justice. And judging the works of the enemy and establishing the truth in the spirit. True change comes through the word and the spirit. So we have authority in the name of Jesus. If we can only listen to him, to our Lord, the commander of the army, when we pursue this place in the flesh of change, we become disillusioned and we can open ourselves to the lies of the devil. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. We are spirit beings first. And we have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and live in a physical body. If we allow the word of God to change the way we think, we start speaking words of faith in the spirit, we deal with principalities and powers of darkness and cause a shift in the spirit, and listen to this, there will be such an outpouring of the spirit than anything we've ever known before. If you listen to true prophets, they're saying there is now the pouring of the spirit coming upon the nations of the earth. They have prophesied for decades and decades and decades, but the time is here. Can you hear the sound of abundance of rain? Oh, it's just two of you. Can you hear the sounds of abundance of rain? Yes. Can you hear the sounds of the abundance of rain? Yes. Change is coming by the Spirit and the Word. But we must hear the Lord. We must perceive His will. Listen, we must speak His righteous words. We must stand as people of faith. If there's any time we've ever prayed in the Spirit, this is the time. Now that's part of our double. Like Dr. Jerry Saville would say, you think when you hear the word of prophecy, the devil just plays dead and does nothing? No. That's the time he unleashes hell. But what do? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. I fear no man, I fear no devil, I fear no evil, I fear no death, I fear no cancer, I fear nothing. I refuse to fear. Pastor, you can't say that. That's upon you. 2 Timothy 1:7 authorizes me, among other scriptures. I refuse to fear. I fear no man. I fear no devil. I fear no cancer. I fear nothing. I refuse to fear. I fear no death. I refuse to fear. Pastor, the devil may hear you. That's why I'm saying it. That's why I'm saying it. I've done this in coming from my closet, you know, my prayer closet, and it's a room inside. So I have to come out of the door, and there's a small corridor, and then come now to the main door to come out of that, you know, that room in the night. There are several rooms. So I've shut the door. You know, I've come from the prayer room late at night. It has happened twice. And then I'm stepping out, and fear tries to come on me. In fact, one time, I think it was 2021, a friend of mine had died during that COVID time. And, you know, they said, let's meet there at 9 o'clock. I think it was 9 or 8 o'clock. We'll meet there so that you can pray, and we'll be leaving, going towards to Nyanza for the burial. I say, fine. If you tell me it's 8 o'clock we are going to meet, I'll be there before 8. But when I got there, we were like maybe less than 5 of us. And what did I do now? One brother called me and said, hey, Davis, come over here, please. Let's go over there and carry the coffin outside the morgue. So anyway, I entered in. That was the Kenyatta morgue. I entered in, and you know, the body was there. My friend, I knew him for years. So the body was there, and carried out the body. And you know, all you see all these things around. You know what? Have you ever been to a morgue? All those things are inside there. So then we came out, carried it, put it down. Then in the evening, I'm through praying. I'm leaving that room. And then I come out, and that image of the morgue comes in, and I feel some fear. I switched off the, just when I was about to switch off the lights, I thought it was like, rush out. No. You ever seen Chuck Norris? He doesn't rush out. I came out, I switched off all the lights, I went back to that inner room with the lights off, and I said, where are you now? Seriously, you could have gone, where are you now? Show up. And then I looked around, still it was dark. Then I came out the main door, still lights off. Then I turned back like Chuck Norris. You never try that over on me again. And came out, shut the door. You better talk to your fears. Tell them who you are. I came out. I refuse to fear. I fear no death. You mean you can go to the morgue alone? But these are dead bodies. Have you ever seen a dead body waking up? Unless it's the power of resurrection. So why do you fear a dead body? The people who fear that. Anyone? Be delivered today. Be delivered today in the name of Jesus from fear. Of death, I fear no death. Hallelujah. I've died all the dying because I'm in Christ. Let me say some things here quickly. Some things about that word preserve from the Holy Scriptures. You remember we read Psalm 40 verse 11, the New King James Version. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. You see that word? Preserve. I want us to look at this word. We're talking about being preserved by the truth. That word, again, I told you last week, is preserve, is to keep safe from injury. To keep safe from injury or harm or destruction. I want my life preserved. I want my life kept safe from injury, harm, or destruction. What about you? Preserve it to keep our life intact or free from decay. And when I say that free from decay, I think of this, free from corruption. Free from corruption of this world. In Romans 12, 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I believe in that renewing of our minds is being preserved. You're allowing your life to be changed so that it may be preserved for God's use. To keep our life intact or free from decay, another word is maintain. I like maintenance. I like keeping things working. Tina and I had a certain television, the first television after we got married. The first television I ever owned, because I never had any. She had, I didn't. You understand that? You know the scripture says, just as I am. I came to her just as I am. Had no television, had some spoons, some cups. So the first television we bought together, and we kept it for years. We used it for years. And when you are sowing it, it was still good. Hallelujah. We've done that. I mean, like at the house, things that have been for Pastor Zwede and Carla, some from 1997. They're still in good use. So when you are giving them out, they're still in good use. I drive an old vehicle of 2002. It's still in good use. I don't know how many times I've been asked, are you selling this vehicle? I said, no, I'm not selling. Can I have your number, your phone number? I've been stopped being asked, can I have your phone number? I said, no, I'm not selling this vehicle. That's the blessing of God. Listen, but I desire new ones too. Anyone likes new things? Or just a few of us? All right. Second hand, new ones are better. Okay. Some of you, it seems like second hand is thriving. Anyone desiring new things? I like new ones. Come on. Have you noticed new ones, the way they smell? I'm looking forward to ever getting a vehicle and just brand new. No one has ever sat on it. It will come to pass. Amen. No one has ever sat on it. Not the fourth owner. And the fifth one. If you become a fifth owner, you know what happens. You don't know when it is going to shut down. Let me give you some words concerning preserve. It's to keep or save from decomposition, that is maintained. Is to can, you know, like canned meat. I don't like canned meat. It's not healthy. A pickle, or similarly, prepare for future use. Prepare for future use. Mark those words. To keep up and reserve for personal or special use. Is to preserve. To keep up and reserve for personal or special use. Let's see the first time the New King James Version uses this word preserve. It's in Genesis 19. I think it's the New King James Version and the King James Version. And it doesn't come out so good because it was a story of Lot's daughters. Remember those two daughters? Let's see the lie that they spoke, the older one especially. In verse 31, remember they are on the mountains with their father. Now the firstborn said to the young, our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us, to us in the custom of all the earth. Lie number one. There's no money, there's no man to marry me. Lie. Lie. I thought you sisters, you're saying it's true. That's a lie. Our father is old and there's no man on there's no man on the earth to come into us as in the custom of all the earth. Were they the only people on earth? Come on now. Were they the only people on earth? No, that's not true. You see, she justified her lies, what she wanted to do. And then she said, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father. That's terrible. That's terrible. And of course, Lot drank and slept with the older daughter and the younger one. And that was the story of Moab and Ammonites were born. But that word is used to preserve the lineage of the father. In other words, preserving, perpetuate, to keep it going. You see that first one. I don't like that example. But let's go to Genesis chapter 45. I want you to see a preservation there, a good one now. Don't follow the ways of Lot's daughters. In chapter 4 of that, he says, remember, Joseph is revealed his identity to his brothers. And then he says this. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. You seen that? You seen that? He sent me to preserve life. And then he says, verse 6, for these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve what? A posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. As how much God cares for his people, he wants to preserve you. Why? For his future, for the future, for many other people to be preserved, because you are obedient in your generation. Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6. I like this one. 2 Samuel 8, 6 says this. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. Let's read that together. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went. I want that. I want the Lord to preserve me wherever I go. That's a good testimony right there. The Lord preserved David wherever he went. We just came back from Marsabit. We came on Thursday evening. We're going on there and in the water project in Marsabit. Hopefully will be done by next month. So it should be going back before the end of this month, before Pastor Carla comes, and Pastor JB and Pastor Michael Watson and the team. But it should be going back there. But even in coming back, at some point, you know, going down tarmac inside in the wilderness, I had a tire burst behind me. You know, it's hot. You may be freezing here in Nairobi. Go to Marsabit. Not Marsabit town is high, so it's cold. But that place is still hot at this time. I had that tire burst behind me, and I said, hallelujah, praise God. In other words, I'm preserved. I fear nothing. Of course, Deacon Norman is the one driving. Took some time to drive and maneuver the vehicle and come to a standstill. Preserved. Preserved. God preserving your life wherever you go. Say, I'm preserved by God. Wherever he went, God preserved him. Let me read another scripture over here. In Psalm 97 verse 10, Psalm 97 verse 10, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Evil includes all the lies of the enemy. Remember, he's the father of lies. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. That's a place right there to shout. You who love the Lord hate evil. Hate anything that is evil. Why? God preserves the souls of his saints. I want to be preserved. I don't want to be a mix-up within the mix-up of lies of the enemy. No, I want to be preserved. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. He preserved David wherever he went. Why? Because he served the Lord in his generation. Let me read some few scriptures here. Listen to Psalm 116, verse 6. Let's start from verse 5. Verse 5 to 7. It says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Does it seem like our nation has been brought low in so many things, but saved us? Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. I want that. He delivers your soul from death. Look at verse 8. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed. Therefore I spoke, I'm greatly afflicted, I say in my haste, all men are liars. All men without God are liars. Let me give you another scripture, the Lord preserving us and preserving his people. Psalm 140 verse 1, it says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men. We need to pray that. Preserve me from violent men. And then in God, the same scripture, the same Psalm verse 4, it says, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purpose to make my steps stumble. You know, warfare is not against flesh and blood. But listen to this, we must believe God to preserve us. We must stay with the truth. Psalm 145 verse 20. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. So what do I need to do? I need to flow with the Lord and love him. Because he preserves those who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And then let's go to some scriptures over here before we receive Holy Communion. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 36. Here's a parable. They came to Jesus and asked him. We may start at verse 33 quickly. It says, then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers and likewise those of the Pharisees, but you as eat and drink? It was party time for the disciples of Jesus. And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? He was referring to himself as the bridegroom. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. And that came after he ascended. And there comes, they started fasting. We find that even in Acts chapter 13. And verse 36 says this, then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. You've ever tried that? A new garment on an old one? I remember one time I was in primary school, most likely before standard five. My mom used to have a sewing machine. Those days when you are growing up, almost every mama had a sewing machine. You remember that? And my parents were teachers, so we are wealthy. We are wealthy in our standards, right, in the village. So we had a sewing machine. So when you are ironing in the rural area, you use charcoal. You know the iron? The iron. So one of hot charcoals came out and onto my shirt. At that time, I don't know, we used to have a material called Tetron. You remember Tetron? All right. This one's like Miss Ruth are my age mates, like Caroline Bay. Marlene, they are my age mates, so they understand. You all don't know about Tetron, do you? Or you don't? Or you're much young? So anyway, it came onto my shirt. And what did my mama do? Gold all of that shirt. And on a Sunday afternoon, I found a patch right here. I said, Mom, I'm not going to school with this shirt. He said, you have to. I said, Mom, you've put a big patch on it. I could not imagine other children looking at me with a big patch on my stomach. She did it well, but you know what? I really protested until I got a new shirt. I didn't feel right. I don't know about you growing up. I wouldn't. That's what I'm saying. In our rural area, we are wealthy in our own standards. Until you city people started visiting us and we realized we are poor. But in our own standards, we didn't lack food, we didn't lack any of those things. We are fine. But listen to this. He says this. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. Verse 37, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst, the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. Look at verse 37. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Let me say something regarding that. Remember, change, true change comes through the Word and the Spirit. We must not resist change. We must allow our hearts to be open to the Holy Spirit, what He's doing in our generation, and flow with Him. The Pharisees was set in their thinking. They didn't want change. They had been fasting and praying. And when the Messiah showed up, they still continued fasting and praying. They should have been among the disciples, actually, following him. Why is that so? They could not tell there were changes happening. They were deceived. They were blind. They were deaf. Their hearts were hardened. They couldn't tell even when the change had come. They couldn't tell this was God of Abraham and Isaac, who was standing right before them, their own God. But they couldn't even tell that He was the one. He was their God. They were seeking for that God who was already there. Listen to me, church. We must allow the Lord to speak to our hearts, to cleanse our hearts, so that when changes are coming by the Spirit and by the Word, we are able to perceive the will of God. You don't want to be left out. You don't want to be left out when there's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Listen to verse 39. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. There are so many things we can say the old is better. But listen to this. I like new things. I believe God is bringing forth what? new things in our generation. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but we never come out of our foundations. We stay in the place of honor. We stay in the place of truth. We stay in the place of love. We seek God. We stay within the foundations of faith. We never compromise that. I wish you were there yesterday when Dr. Salim Kohl was speaking to us about compromise. You never compromise your values. You stay with the truth throughout your life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, the Amplified Classic Version, we read it last week. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved, sound and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah. Are you seeing that? Being preserved, your spirit and soul and body be preserved, sound and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah. Look what follows next, the other scripture. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself. And utterly trustworthy. And he will also do it, fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. But you must love the truth. God wants you preserved. God wants you to be complete. Not broken, not confused. For the author of confusion is the devil. God wants you whole, truthful. You can perceive his will in our generation, and we keep growing and growing, doing the will of God for our generation. Listen to Apostle Paul also speaking the same. In Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. The Amplifier says this, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the gospel message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was delivered out of the jaws of the lion. Look at verse 18. But indeed, the Lord will certainly deliver and draw me to himself from every assault of evil. He will preserve and bring me safe unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So be it. The New King James Version says this, verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. How are we preserved, church? Through his word and through his spirit. Do you see yourself at age 80, 90? How will you look? Preserved? The Lord preserves the life of the righteous. How will you be at 80, 90? Whole, preserved. You all ladies, I want to pastor you in your 80s. All right, so we are hanging around here for quite some time. And we look like we are in our 30s. Amen? Don't go. Stay around. Wealthy in all ways. You hear of, we have a project in a certain place. How much is it? 50 million. Okay. I've been preserved all these years. Okay, let me transfer that amount to that account. Don't ask it anymore in church, Pastor. It's already taken care of. Would you like that? Yeah. Well, we had one man who came here. He's 84, actually. He's turning 85 next year. Yes, next year. And he asked, so how much is your next project? We are with Pastor Carl. So he had asked, and we said it's $140,000. It's about what? $140,000. That's how much? 15 million? All right. Okay, 15 million. He said, that's our next step up there, going up, up there. There's another phase coming up on top of these classrooms over here. And he said, okay, I'm going to give all that amount of money for the next project. That's how we behave at 84. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on. That's good. That's good. That's wonderful. A wealthy, preserved woman. How do we behave? We give. We're generous. So 15 million. Okay. All right. What do others say? If I get that money, if I get that money, there's a plot that I must get. I must have a plot and build it. Where? It doesn't matter, but I have to have a plot. Nowadays, people, it doesn't matter as long as they have a plot somewhere. But not us. Not us. Amen? We are generous. Plots are coming. In fact, he says, we're talking, Pastor Kale says this, we are talking about that. That God says, I will give you houses that you didn't build. So don't be talking every time, I'm building. Why don't you say, Lord, I'm believing you. However you want it, you know the colors that I like in my bedroom, do it. Amen. You like the colors of my bedroom, do it, Lord. And then one day, you keep believing, that's what happened. You say, what are you going to do? You're working your faith. You're sowing. You're sleeping the whole day. No. You're a worker. You're a member of the body of Christ. But you're working by faith. You are believing God to do what he says he will do. Amen? That's what he wants, to preserve your life. Finally, brethren, in Jude, the New King James Version, Jude chapter 1, Jude only has one chapter, but Jude 1, it says, it's Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved where? In Christ, in Jesus Christ. Preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Cocooned by God. That doesn't matter what happens around, you're hearing him, you're following him, you're praying by the Spirit, you're guarding yourself against every lie of the enemy, you're perceiving his will, you're standing in a place of authority, you're speaking the word of God, you stand in authority. You refuse every lie of the enemy. You perceive truth. You want your life preserved. The lies of the enemy are meant to steal, kill, and destroy. But I choose the truth, which will preserve me in my generation. So you keep pursuing that. What is that? I want to honor God. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows what? The issues of life. I want my life preserved. I remember years ago the Lord speaking to me and telling me this. If you serve me, I will cocoon you. When I placed in a traffic jam somewhere in Karobangi South, and there were boys, young people actually, their youths coming around there, and they were robbing motorists. But the Lord quickened me on what to do, and I was able to move out of that mess, and I went away, and ahead of me, the road was so clear. And as I started driving home, we had come from Care Fellowship, as I started driving home, he spoke to me and told me this. When I had come out of that mess, he told me this: if you serve me, I will cocoon you. I will protect you. That's been preserved. That there are things that are happening in this world that will never come around you. Why is that so? God wants to preserve you. He wants to keep you, to maintain you. You've had people looking for maintenance? You've ever heard of that? Or I have the one who knows how to maintain me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Can I hear your hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I'm preserved by God. Hallelujah. That's what he wants to do with your life. Guard your own heart. Guard your mind. What is that scripture that you read last time? That's what? Deuteronomy? Exodus what? Exodus? Let's read that, please. Exodus 23, verse 1. Yeah, I have it highlighted. My Bible, I read it years ago. Listen to this. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Do not circulate. No, just and then he said, you shall not what? Circulate a false report. Do you like circulating? Can you verify what you are circulating? The people who major in, I think they're not here today, but they major in forwarding reports on WhatsApp that they haven't verified. That's really being enforcing or circulating a false report. Look at what follows next, verse 2. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. Follow the truth, church. Young people, follow after the truth. Verify everything. Ask by doing what? By asking the Lord. Lord, what am I supposed to do? We were talking yesterday about Dr. Salim Kolo speaking about peer pressure. You young people, you think like peer pressure is right, is affecting you alone. All these adults, if they are going to be open and honest, and they are born again, they can lift up their hands and say, we go through peer pressure too. I thought you adults, you're honest. Do we? We go through peer pressure, is that so? Listen, young people, it's not just you. It's not just you. But before I do anything, I'd rather ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do? I don't want to violate my conscience towards God. I want to honor him. Amen. Just speak to the Lord. You've heard his word. Just speak to him. There are things that we may need to uproot them from your life right now, and open your heart to the Lord to speak to you and lead you and direct you. Just go ahead and speak to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, it's your will to preserve your people. It's even your will to always preserve your church, the members of the body of Christ. And it's your will to preserve this nation from the hands of the wicked one. Father, we open our hearts to you. I've spoken your word. to your people. You know them. You know every single one of them. I commit them to you, Father. Holy Spirit of God, I release you to do the work in their hearts concerning the truth, to flush out every lie of the enemy, to root out, to destroy every work of the enemy, and to build and plant the kingdom of God even in their thinking. I take authority over every stronghold of the enemy. I say every plant that our Heavenly Father has not planted in the lives of your people, I uproot it right now in the name of Jesus. Say every plant that you, my Heavenly Father, has not planted in me, I uproot it. I ask you to forgive me from every sin, from every lie of the enemy. I want change through your word and through your spirit. I open my heart to be a new wineskin for the outpouring of your spirit upon my life. I just sense that. Just lift up your hands to him, please. Father, may there be fresh wind of your spirit upon the lives of your people. The glory of God filling their lives. The glory of God preserving your people. The glory of God preserving the young, the old, every age group represented. Thank you, Father, for your presence right now. Be free from every lie of the enemy. Be free from every stronghold of the enemy. Be free from wrong belief system. In the name of Jesus, be free to serve the Lord your God in your generation. Father, thank you for the outpouring of your spirit upon our nation. We ask you of it. We desire it. We declare it. We decree it in the name of Jesus, that there is the outpouring of your spirit upon our nation to bring true change by the word and by the spirit. Father, thank you. You've said it. You'll pour out your spirit upon all flesh. We ask you for the outpouring of your spirit upon our nation. All of our nation, Father. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for strength to do your will in our generation. I speak strength to the young ones. I speak strength to the old ones. I speak strength to do the will of God. Strength to say no to the evil one. I thank you, Father, for your voice upon your people. For the people of the truth, hear your voice. And I give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Would you give him praise and glory and honor?